And now, from the DTC Sports Broadcast Studio, it's time for another episode of The Box Score, the weekly Middle Tennessee High School sports podcast for all things sports in Cannon, DeKalb, Gordonsville, Smith, and Watertown. Featuring your hosts, Terry Collins and the guru, Murphy Fair.
And welcome back to The Box Score. Terry Collins along with Murphy Fair, and we're heading into week two, but we're going to talk about last week's action. We want to remind everybody The Box Score is now available to listen on your favorite podcast platform. So another avenue that you can use. We're going to start with the Smith County at Watertown game of the week, which was last week. The Owls pulled out a 28-23 win, their first victory in 60 years over Watertown. They had lost seven in a row, 1970 Industrial Bowl, 81, 82, 83, and 84. All those between 2 and 7 points they lost to Watertown. And then in 2017 and 2018, Watertown had won, so the Owls break a 60-year. And we'll be talking to Gary Rankin later in the show, and he was the quarterback in 1970, and Scotty Amon was the coach in the first of those seven losses. First downs, Watertown wins that. Both teams had 37 rushes in the game. Dylan Raines, as you'll see in a minute, a huge night for the Owls. Three turnovers for Watertown, two for Smith County. The stats pretty even, Murph. You know, both teams made some mistakes. I know one thing in talking with Matt Dyer was upset with those 11 penalties for 100 yards. Seven of those came in the first 14 minutes of the game.
Just 5 points difference between those two. That was a great history lesson you gave. I had no idea that Carthage and Watertown had played each other that many times.
Right. Of course, they have scrimmaged each other a ton through the years, in the spring or the fall, but just hadn't met on the gridiron that many times. Looking at the individual numbers for the game, Dylan Raines in his first career start, he's a sophomore for the Owls, did not play a year ago, 26 carries for 168 yards and a 45-yard touchdown run in the second quarter to get the Owls on the mark for the first time. Also 6 of 12 for Riley Martin for 98 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also had a rushing touchdown. Gage Gibbs, 3 catches for 75 yards, a couple of touchdowns. His interception in the second quarter, he returned it to the 25-yard line and set up the Owls' score with 7 seconds to go in the first half, which gave them the lead for good at 16-9 at intermission. Garrett Davis, first time for him to start at quarterback. He was a wide receiver a year ago, 77 yards passing. Very impressed with his running ability, 16 rushes, 105 yards, 3 total touchdown, and he was a heat-seeking missile from that safety position for them. He had some tremendous licks on the defensive end as well. Gunnar Tompkins had 2 catches for 36 yards, and both of those were scores. So we want to thank Sonic of Carthage for our stats of the week, Murph, and as you can see, a very balanced ball game.
I got 5 words to say about this week's game. Give the ball to Dylan. That's a great number for him only to be a sophomore, and it's amazing how many sophomores. Cannon County's got a lot of sophomores in the lineup too, so we're going to see a lot of young talent, and I don't know if we need to underline the word young or talent, right. but they're both pretty good ball players.
Looking at DeKalb County at Warren County, DeKalb County gets that win 19-16 in McMinnville. Jesse Fouch, first career start, I think, for him, 144 yards passing, a couple of scores. Also had 12 carries for 52 yards. Ryan Lyons, a big night for DeKalb, 5 receptions, 98 yards. Also had 3 rushes for 11 yards and a touchdown. And then Warren County had a couple of players in Isaiah Robledo and Brady Swallows that had touchdown catches, Murphy, but a very, very close ball game.
Brady Swallows, the son of Grant Swallows, who we've saw plenty of him when he was playing at Livingston several years ago. And Grant's dad was also a quarterback at Livingston back in the probably early 60s, I guess.
I think that's Pat Swallows, longtime baseball
coach. Correct, correct.
Brady Swallows with the pass and Robledo, I'm sorry, with the reception. Let's go ahead and turn our attention now to Monterey and County County. And County County, Murphy, gets a big win, 31-0. I know Monterey lost a lot of players from a year ago, but, you know, Tommy Hinch had to be pleased, the first-year head coach, with getting the shutout win, let you know your defense played well. Of course, the quarterback, Eli Garrett, a big night, 198 yards passing, 29 yards rushing. Jackson Miles, a big night catching the football, six receptions, 112 yards. Kale Sellers, the leading ball carrier, 12 rushes for 80 yards. Had a reception, also four tackles, and Zeke Walkup causing havoc on the defensive end. Eight tackles, four tackles for loss, and two quarterback pressures.
All four of those names on the screen right now were starters at one time or another on the basketball team last year, too. So the coaching staffs of both football, basketball, and baseball are all working together as far as getting into the minds of these young athletes. And it's gonna help basketball, it's gonna help baseball, and it's certainly helping football right now, too.
Gordonsville at Coalfield, of course, that game stopped with about a minute and a half to go in the third quarter. Gordonsville gets the win, or a no contest. We'll talk with Steven Jackson a little bit later in the show, and he'll discuss that. It was 21-18. Turner Booker, 15 carries for 90 yards, a couple of scores. Lee Scurlock, the big fullback for Gordonsville, five rushes for 15 yards and a touchdown. For Coalfield, playing at home, they had a couple of weather delays in that. Of course, they wound up calling the game completely off. He had 168 all-purpose yards, three total touchdowns, and Hayden Hedrick, eight rushes for 70 yards. Let's go ahead and take a look at the Carthage Saveway scoreboard. Region 4-2A, you've got Friendship, a win at home over Trousdale, 34-7. Jackson County beats Clinton County, Kentucky, 42-32. Cannon, as we talked about earlier, a big win, 31-0 over Monterey. Gordonsville over Coalfield, 21-18. And Smith County goes to Watertown and wins 28-23.
That's our region on the on the screen right there. And a pretty good night as Trousdale County, the only loser out of Region 4-2A. I understand they've had some success at the middle school level the last year, maybe two, but those kids are really, really young, and Trousdale County still putting an awfully young squad on the field without a whole lot of players either.
Region 4-3A, looking at those scores, Cascade over Cheatham County, Moore County over Community, Forest over Creekwood, Page over Giles County, Sequatchie over Bledsoe, and of course Smith County over Watertown. Looking at Region 4-4A, Livingston, a big win over Cumberland County. Macon beats Knox Fulton in a steamroll. That was a one touchdown game. They played that on Saturday night, Lafayette, and Macon got it rolling, and Kyle Shoulders' team saying, not so fast. If you just thought we were going to contend for one state championship, we're going to try to get more.
Fulton found out what smash mouth football is all about.
That's
too.
Exactly right. Stone Memorial beats York. Upperman over Knox Webb, Soddy Daisy edges White County, and DeKalb County beats Warren County. We'll have a look or an interview with Steven Jackson when we return to the box score, brought to you by Pavement Restorations.
Pavement Restorations began in 2006 to help our clients find cost-effective ways to extend the life of their existing asphalt and concrete assets. We're now proud to be a leader in the asphalt and concrete construction industry across Tennessee. PRI offers asphalt paving and production, on-site concrete mixtures, asphalt and concrete repairs, preservation, and cold asphalt mixtures. So let our team introduce you to the PRI way of construction on your next project.
Friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank, at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
All across our communities, DTC is working hard for you. each and every day so you can experience amazingly fast internet no matter where you live.
Hit a home run when you switch to DTC Internet. Knock it out of the park by scoring $900 in savings. That's $30 off your bill for 30 months when you sign up for DTC Internet.
Call, stop by, or visit us online to sign up. DTC, making a difference where it matters most.
At Huff and Puff Trucking, it's more than a job. It's the people beside you. People who go the extra mile together. Hard work, real pride, good people. That's who we are. Huff and Puff Trucking, driven by purpose, powered by people. Ready to join us? Visit huffpufftrucking.com to learn more.
And welcome back to The Box Score, brought to you by Pavement Restorations. Terry Collins, Murphy Fair, Justin Malden, always doing a great job for us behind the scenes. And we've got Gordonsville head coach Steven Jackson. And coach, I'm like a lot of Gordonsville fans were when they left the field or left the stadium Friday night. Is it a win? Is it a loss? Is it no contest? What is it?
I still really don't know for sure. I mean, I think we're considering it a win. You know, when we talked about it with, Cofield the other night, felt like, you know, I thought that it would be a no contest. I think something about after half, but when we talked about it and the officials were standing there, I guess we all thought that it would be a no contest. So, really not 100% sure what it is, and it's a situation where, I think it's a really good football game, so it's a learning experience for us, win or loss or no contest. And I mean, that's the big thing about early season games that are non-region is just being able to learn from, good things that happen, learn from bad things that happen.
Well, coach, you on the scoreboard was up 21-18, a little over a minute to play in the third when you had your second weather delay. And that's, I probably should have prefaced my comment to you for that. Go ahead, Murph.
Well, I was just going to say, I was thinking while you all were talking that, well, maybe we'll catch them in the playoffs. But now that you all are in a 2A playoff situation or possibility, you don't have to worry about Cofield again this year, do you, Coach?
No, sir. And that's, if we was 1A, that'd be a situation where, with Region 2, how the playoffs work out, that could be like a second-round game if we was still 1A, or a second-round, third-round matchup, which – you know, it's always fun playing those guys. They're really physical, really well-coached team. Guys that really love the game of football. So it's always a really good game when we play them. And, we're excited about playing them again next year.
Coach, Murphy and I went to Cofield for a playoff game, and that's been several years ago. But the atmosphere that they had was tremendous. And I know you had to be proud that you're fans made the long trip up into East Tennessee for that ball game, and just shows you about Tiger Nation, how special they are.
Oh, definitely. I mean, and that's the thing. I think we could, travel 6 or 7 hours away to play a game, and we're going to have a crowd there. We're going to have a big following. They're going to be loud. I mean, we're running out of the, through the sign, and I hear milk jugs in the stands. So, I mean, they're always going to be there. They're always going to support us. And, it's awesome being at a place that is like that, that you got support whether you're at home or on the road.
Coach, there's really a lot of similarities between these two schools. I think that's developing into quite a rivalry, if you will, even though you're not 20 or 30 miles away or even less than that like you are with Smith County. I think that's a great warm-up for the season for both schools, and I can see those two teams playing each other for a long time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's what me and Coach at Cofield talked about. It was like both of our communities seem like the same kind of community. Love football, love our home team. We'll travel real well. So it's a game that, was fortunate enough to get it first game of the year. They had a district game that got, or a team that moved into their district that had played week one, and we did the same thing. So it's a game I feel like will probably be the first game of the year for you know, as many years to come.
Coach, when you look, things doesn't get any easier for your team. You've got a 3A squad in Watertown that suffered a loss last week, and a very familiar team to you. Of course, it's not far from Gordonsville, Watertown, and we cover both of those schools here on the box score. And having looked at Gavin Webster in his 21st year, a former Gordonsville alumni, I know y'all are familiar with each other and have played for many, many years.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's always it's a rival game that's always going to be on the schedule, whether, you know, whatever class they're in. You know, used to be a big-time district matchup. Seemed like when I played, it was always week two, first district game of the year. So it's we're familiar with them. They're familiar with us. We play in middle school every year, you know, playing youth league. So, you know, there's a rival built throughout the years of playing each other. So it's a really exciting game. It's another one just like you know, kind of Cofield. We're 20 minutes away, and they're going to bring a huge crowd. They always do. We're going to have a huge crowd for our first home game. So it's going to be an exciting night.
Coach, did the game against Cofield go about the way you thought it would? It looks as though both of you scored three touchdowns, but they didn't do very well in the extra point department, it looks like.
Oh, yes. And, you know, we had talked going into the week about, you know, we had to make some plays on special teams, and we need to make two more plays than they make on special teams to give ourselves a chance to win a big football game. And, you know, they returned a punt. We blocked an extra point. We blocked two punts, and we had a big-time kickoff return after half. So we thought that it was going to be a hard-nosed football game that would come down to the fourth quarter, and, you know, we were trying to make plays on special teams to give ourselves a chance to win in the fourth quarter.
Coach, I know you got quite a bit of depth, and you're going to have to call on that this week with some players injured. But back to the game on Friday night, how, being a long weather delay, how do y'all treat that? I mean, do you just, hey, relax, get you something to drink, keep fluids in you? And then you don't know about, of course, they're going to give you time to warm up again. I understand that. But that's something you can't plan for, because you don't know how long that period that you're going to be out because of the weather delay, lightning, or whatever's in the area. You know, you don't know if that's going to be 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour and 15. And sometimes, you know, that's not something I'm sure you plan for all week.
Right. Yeah. The first break, the first lightning delay, you know, we come in and we're coaching hard on, you know, how we're going to stop them. We was fortunate enough to go down and score, and then a little bit later had the lightning delay. So we was coaching really hard. We'd found something on special teams. You know, luckily these days, you know, we have the iPads that got the huddle or the sideline replay on the sideline. So we're able to go back through each play and watch and see what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. So at first one, we're really coaching them up. The second one, I was told as was coming off the field that there's a big storm coming. So it's like, all right, well, how do we handle this one? You know, because it looked like it was going to be a while before we'd be able to come back. So it was kind of a learning experience. You know, hopefully never had to go through that again as a coach. But it was different. But I thought our kids handled it the right way. I thought they was, did what they're supposed to do. You know, that second one, we kind of relaxed a little bit more and was able to get them a little food, because it'd been since, I guess, 3:30 that they had ate, and that was 9:30, 10 o'clock. So we was able to get them a little something to eat during that second break.
Steven, just be glad you got as much of that in as you did, because I think there's three or four games up there that was scheduled for last Friday. They never got played at all. Some of them played on Saturday. I think there was one game at 12 noon Saturday, but I checked scores again today, and there's still three games from up there that never did get played.
Right, definitely. And that's the big thing, is being able to get almost three quarters in, you know, whether it's a contest, whether it's a win. You know, we got that game experience. And, you know, all these games are leading up, you know, to our region opponents, playing our region opponents. and then the playoffs. So being able to play a really good opponent like Cofield and get that film to watch and tell, show our kids what we're doing good, what we're doing bad, was a really big positive.
Of course, well, you got the game of the week this week with your home opener with Watertown coming to town. I know you got some kids hurt, but Coach, you got some depth, and I know you got some kids that are ready to step up and fill the void.
Yes, sir. I mean, that's this year we're very fortunate to have. We played during the scrimmages. We played a lot of kids. I mean, we probably played 30, 31, 32 kids. You know, during the first part of the scrimmages when we're going varsity. So I think that we have a lot of people that can step in, a lot of people that are excited about the opportunity to be able to play. And, you know, we'll still have some guys that will be in a row that, you know, they may be injured, but they may be playing some, just, you know, not as many reps as they might have played the week before.
Well, Steven Jackson, we appreciate you visiting with us on the Box Score, and best of luck.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all.
Thanks, Steven.
We'll talk with legendary high school football coach Gary Rankin, who just got his 500th victory after this break on the Box Score, brought to you by Pavement Restorations.
Community Wellness Clinic is a nurse practitioner owned and operated full service medical clinic. Our emphasis is on good health and wellness throughout every generation of your family. We strive to provide the expert quality of care that our patients deserve and expect. Along with primary care services, we also offer a full complement of urgent care services. Let us be your family's good health partner. Community Wellness Clinic in Woodbury. Phone 615-563-7515.
Friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
At Huff and Puff Trucking, it's more than a job. It's the people beside you. People who go the extra mile, together. Hard work, real pride, good people. That's who we are. Huff and Puff Trucking, driven by purpose, powered by people. Ready to join us? Visit huffpufftrucking.com to learn more. Got a special outdoor project that you need to tackle? BDGR Excavating is the one to call. Custom land clearing, mulching, excavation, and more. They can help get the job done, even when others have failed. Call the problem solvers at BDGR at 615-489-1329 and let them help you get that project out of the way so you can really start enjoying your property. BDGR Excavating.
Welcome back to the Box Score, brought to you by Pavement Restorations, Terry Collins, Murphy Fair. And we've been joined by longtime friend, head coach Gary Rankin of the Boyd Buchanan. And coach, congratulations on your 500th win last Friday night.
Well, I appreciate it. It was a good night for our school, and we had a huge crowd and had a couple of ceremonies. So it was a good night. Very appreciative of being able to be able to coach this long and be around a lot of good coaches and a lot of good programs and hit a milestone that's pretty important, I guess.
Gary, when I interviewed you for my statewide radio show, you talked about the fact that that number may never be equaled in Tennessee because you've played so many 15-game seasons. That's obviously played a major role in you being able to reach that goal, don't you think?
Well, it has. I mean, you're talking about 24 times the state championship game, so that's 24 times five. What, 120 extra games that I've been lucky to be in, I guess, and more lucky than that to win a lot of those games. So, you know, there's some reasons, and I've been able to coach for a long time, so
It'll be hard, I would think, Murphy, in the state of Tennessee. It's just, it's gotten a little more difficult. It's a little more difficult to coach these days than it was 20, 25 years ago. You know, you just got so many things going on with, you know, right now, transfer kids and parents getting involved and just all these personal trainers and stuff getting in kids' ears. It's just, it's a tougher time to coach right now, probably it was 20 years ago.
Coach, you've been involved in the Owls and the Tigers here in Smith County as far as that rivalry goes. And then I guess one of the state's greatest rivalries was Alco and Maryville, which you were part of for a bunch of years. Last week, I know it had to make you proud that Alcoa beat Maryville.
It was, and you know, when I was in Murfreesboro, the Riverdale Open was a tremendous rivalry. So I've been around some of the bigger ones in the state, and you know, Alcoa's got it rolling right now, and they're playing well, they're well coached, they got so many things going for them, got great players. So, you know, that little streak at Alcoa, I think, will keep going for a long, long time.
Gary, your first head coaching career came at your alma mater, Smith County. That first year was kind of tough, wasn't it? 0-10, a lot of people wouldn't have thought that this guy's gonna win 500 football games one of these days.
Right. Somebody said the other night, if it wasn't for that first year, I'd have a pretty good record. You know, it was an experience, and we got down to a lot of low numbers in kids, and it was a tough year for us professionally, and just trying to get that program turned back around. It was bad. It was in really, really bad shape when I took it over, and it was a pretty hard year. But the second year, I think we were 8-3 or something like that. So we got turned around pretty quick, and you know, that was a year that I wouldn't want to go back and do again, and I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But I'm pretty happy that I went through it, because I think it taught me a lot of lessons about myself that I might not have figured out any other way.
Coach, when you look back at your time at Carthage and the success you had there, of course, you ended a 26-game losing streak. That would have been my senior year when you, in 1983 football season, beat Gordonsville at Gordonsville 21-14, which was a tremendous win for the county. And when I say the people of Carthage, you know, there was a huge crowd there. Gordonsville had a great program, of course, right after that when they went on to a state runner-up and a state championship. But when you look at that, I'm not asking you to say, is that your favorite win out of the 500? But I know it's got to be one of your most important ones.
Well, it was a big upset, and I mean, I remember they were four touchdown, 28-point favorites, and we really didn't have a chance. But I think one thing that people may not even know today, I think Mr. Ford was sick maybe, and Mark Melly was running the show, I believe, and they were running some split back veer offense, which is pretty difficult to defend, especially if you don't know what you're doing. And I had been fortunate that I had been around a little bit of that, and I knew a little bit about it, and we were able to defend them probably a little bit better than they expected that night. And, you know, I think they had a snap over the punter's head, and there was a few things that went right for us, but it was at their place, and it was a pretty shocking upset, and there's no doubt that it jump-started us there and got our program going pretty good at Smith County.
Gary, you've always surrounded yourself with excellent assistant coaches. They may not have been excellent assistant coaches when they were under you, but they learned so much from you. Do you have any idea how many guys that have been a member of your staff that went on to be a head coach here in Tennessee?
No, but I've got to find out, because somebody's wanting to do an article on that here in the next week or two. They call me, but I know at one time, I think there was 11 that were, this has been a few years back, at one time there was 11 guys that were head coaches in the state. I'm not really sure about right now, but we've got a pretty good array of coaches that I've worked with and been in that tree that are coaching at different places. And I mean, some of the best coaches in the state of Tennessee. So, you know, I've been fortunate to be able to hire some really, really good coaches. And, you know, I look at them as people first. I won't hire them if they're not a good person, and I don't think they'll be good around our kids. That's first and foremost. And then just been fortunate to win a lot of games. And, you know, when you do and everything's good, coaches really, it gets in their blood, and, you know, they want to keep doing it or maybe want to go try and do it on their own and stuff. But I think just having the success that we've had, those coaches,
have felt that and wanted to continue that and got out on their own, and a lot of them done tremendous jobs.
When a lot of those coaches came onto your staff, though, they were not recognized. They hadn't been coaching that long. What did you look for in those young men that you thought they were going to make a pretty good coach?
Well, some of them had. I mean, I interviewed them, and, you know, football knowledge was important, but it wasn't the biggest thing. You know, the biggest thing was that they were good people, and I thought they would work hard and you know, fall into the culture that we were trying to develop at each school. So, you know, it was hard at one time. It's probably a little easier to get coaches nowadays, but at one time it was probably a little bit harder to find them. You just didn't have as much turnover in the schools, and you didn't have as many openings in the schools. So I was pretty fortunate to be backed by some good administrators, I think, that understood the importance of football and what it could do for your school. And, you know, I've never been around a school that, when the football program wasn't really good, it really helped the school.
Coach, when you look, one of those assistants that was defense coordinator for you at Riverdale actually came back to Smith County, and Jimmy Maynard, and is the all-time leading wins leader at the head of the Owls program on that list. Of course, you were on that list along with Turney Ford. Coach Maynard did break Turney Ford's record in, you know, some last season. Of course, you know, Coach Ford, to his credit, did not have the playoffs like we do in today's world, but I know you and Jimmy are really good friends.
Yeah, Jimmy's one of the best. I mean, he did so much, probably did as much for Smith County High School as anybody that's been through there, I would think. You know, not only did he coach, he did a great job being an administrator and running the school and making sure that thing was in good shape. So, you know, he's a tremendous football coach. I talked to him yesterday, still communicate with him regularly, and still calling him, bugging him about football questions all the time. So he's certainly one of the guys that I will call and ask their opinion about stuff and listen to them.
Coach, any idea how long you're going to keep blowing that whistle?
Not really, Murphy. I don't know. As long as I feel good and I think I'm effective, I think that's the biggest thing. You know, I don't know who's going to come and tell me I'm not effective. That's what worries me a little bit.
He'd have to be crazy if he was.
You know, but as long as I think I'm doing a good job, and I'm still pretty active. I don't go out there and stand with my arms folded every day in practice. I'm still pretty active with the kids. I enjoy it. So if I can stay healthy, hopefully another year, two, three, I don't know. It could be the last. I don't really know. It just depends on everything goes. But I feel like I could do it a few more years and maybe be effective with it.
It all depends on what Sandra says, right?
That's part of it. And the good Lord, if I can stay healthy and do what I'm doing, you know, I would just say, I just take it week by week, and I really hadn't thought a whole lot about it. It'll be hard on me, I know that. This has been a big part of my life for a long, long time. It'll be difficult when I do lay it down.
Well, Coach Rankin, as always, we appreciate you taking time out. Go to practice and get another win this week.
All right, boys, I appreciate it. Thanks for calling. Good to talk to y'all.
Thanks, Gary.
Coach Gary Rankin's been our guest, former Smith County, Riverdale, Alcoa head coach now at Boyd Buchanan, and 500 wins, now the all-time winningest coach in the history of Tennessee football. We'll have a look at Murphy's picks when we return the box score, brought to you by Pavement Restorations.
Got a special outdoor project that you need to tackle? BDGR Excavating is the one to call. Custom land clearing, mulching, excavation, and more. They can help get the job done, even when others have failed. Call the problem solvers at BDGR at 615-489-1329. And let them help you get that project out of the way so you can really start enjoying your property. BDGR Excavating.
Community Wellness Clinic is a nurse practitioner owned and operated full service medical clinic. Our emphasis is on good health and wellness throughout every generation of your family. We strive to provide the expert quality of care that our patients deserve and expect. Along with primary care services, we also offer a full complement of urgent care services. Let us be your family's good health partner. Community Wellness Clinic in Woodbury. Phone 615-563-7515.
Pavement Restorations began in 2006 to help our clients find cost-effective ways to extend the life of their existing asphalt and concrete assets. We're now proud to be a leader in the asphalt and concrete construction industry across Tennessee. PRI offers asphalt paving and production, on-site concrete mixtures, asphalt and concrete repairs, preservation, and cold asphalt mixtures. So let our team introduce you to the PRI way of construction on your next project.
All across our communities, DTC is working hard for you each and every day so you can experience amazingly fast internet no matter where you live.
Hit a home run when you switch to DTC Internet. Knock it out of the park by scoring $900 in savings. That's $30 off your bill for 30 months when you sign up for DTC Internet.
Call, stop by, or visit us online to sign up. DTC, making a difference where it matters most.
And welcome back to the Box Score. Terry Collins along with Murphy Fair. And we're in our final segment, Murph. And, you know, it's week two of the regular season. And we snap our finger and it'll be the end of the season.
I was 70% last week, which is pretty good. Usually I'm in the 60% range that first week because I have nothing to go by except for scrimmages. And you can't really tell a whole lot who's going to win and who's going to lose in a scrimmage. But I'll do better this week, I hope.
Our football game night is Watertown at Gordonville, and you know, that's a long-standing rivalry, Murph. People are, you know, going to get to watch that game live. Our show will preempt that, and then they'll have a pregame show at 6:45 to 7, and we got to see the guys last Friday night in Watertown when the Owls went over there, and you know, it's a pretty professional job for small town USA, and those guys, a lot of guys behind the scenes make that thing possible, and all our sponsors, we want to thank them.
You know, normally by the time cool weather gets here, we're almost through with the regular season, but we had a little bit of a cool night Friday night, and I think it'll be even a little cooler, so you might want to take, if you're going to Gordonsville, you might want to take a little jacket with you, because I think it'll be like an October game between these two schools. They don't like each other very much, and I look for that to be a really fun game to watch.
Of course, you got Steven Jackson, former Gordonsville alumni, going against Gavin Webster, a Gordonsville alumni.
Another alum, that's right.
And you know, the stadium there at Turner Ford Field is magnificent. I mean, with the bleachers and the press boxes. And
well, what makes it so special is the bleachers are 5 feet from the field.
Right. Yeah.
You know, maybe not quite that close, but it feels like it, and everybody's running over everybody.
5 feet about from the sideline to the fence, anyway.
That's right.
Let's go ahead and look at the East Tennessee picks. Murphy, Oak Ridge at Clinton.
Yeah, two teams from the same county. Oak Ridge, a team that's got, I've never seen so many banners in the basketball arena there that they have for multiple sports, but I think Oak Ridge wins that one going away over Clinton.
What is a great rivalry, Murphy, and a couple of schools not far apart in Bradley Central at Walker Valley. We were at Walker Valley here a few years ago, and they had nearly 200 people in the band that didn't get to perform at halftime because of homecoming, and people stayed after the game. And they had about an hour show.
How about that? Yeah. How about that? Interestingly enough, the guy who is the head coach at Walker Valley, his dad won a state championship when he was coaching at Boyd Buchanan.
Right.
So they got a good one there, and they've got a good one at Walker Valley. I think they had a big win this past Friday night, and I look for them to get another one this week as well.
The Indians of Sequatchie County traveling up on the mountain, just straight up the hill drive to Signal Mountain.
Yeah, but it's downhill all the way home. And
yeah.
I think Sequatchie gets a win in that one. They're pretty tough. They're kind of like what Fulton experienced the other night by Macon County. Sequatchie plays smash mouth football. And I think they'll get it to the Rich Boys from Signal Mountain.
Sequatchie County a year ago made it to the semis and were eliminated by Alcoa. Let's go ahead and look at the Middle Tennessee picks. Brentwood Academy at Brentwood High School.
I just might have to go to that one. Two really good programs, maybe a mile apart. That might be stretching it a little bit, but there's not a lot of love lost between those two. I'm going to have to go with BA in that one. Paul Wade's got that team playing really, really well right now.
course, Tullahoma played Shebbal last week and beat them on Saturday night. And they've got Coffee County. Is that the Coffee Pot game?
Coffee Pot game. This one will be played in Manchester. That's a tough one to call, but I think the home field advantage may put the win in Coffee's cup, so to speak.
Pearl Cone at CPA, Murphy. That's a little private versus public, but when you look at Coach Fernetti and Coach Martin and the success that they've had in those schools, should be a great game.
And I love those games when they get a private school and an inner city school that's hopefully teaching them a lot of life lessons, not just football. CPA with a tough loss at Oakland last week. I think they bounced back with a win over the Firebirds.
Let's go ahead and look at the West Tennessee picks. You got Dresden at McKenzie.
Dresden, a team that my grandson's team hammered a couple of weeks ago. So I'm going to have to go with McKenzie in that one. I don't think Dresden is quite the team that everybody expected them to be.
Ned Ray McQuarter's grandkids are great-grandkids maybe not being on the Lions team, or the famous Popeye Jones, who played at Dresden.
That's true.
Covington at Haywood.
That'll be a slugfest. It really will. Both of those teams really good. Haywood knocked off, I think it was Henry County last week. So, and Covington had a big win too. So, that one's tough to call, but I got to go with Covington in that one.
And then Crockett County at Ripley.
Probably Crockett County. I know the coach down there really, really well, and he's got a solid program. I look for Crockett County in Alamo to do well at Ripley.
Our local picks, which are the teams that we cover in our area, there's five of those. We're going to start out with Cannon County at Providence Christian, and I think that game's at MTSU.
It is, and it's a Thursday night game, too, so that makes it even more interesting and more opportunities to go watch that game. Cannon County's coach, a little concerned about the athletic ability of Providence. They've got a lot of kids that would normally be going to Siegel or Oakland or Riverdale, but they're playing at Providence Christian now. Cannon County will have their hands full, but they've got a pretty good football team this year, and I think the Lions come away with a win.
For the first time in 39 years, Clay County and Smith County will tangle on the gridiron. They've tangled on the baseball field and the basketball floor, but I think 86 and 85, the last two times that these two teams met in a home-and-home series. Of course, 85 was the year that Smith County, under Gary Rankin, went to the state semifinals, and then the Owls went to Clay County and kind of got thumped in 1986. Murphy, Clay County struggled last week, went up Kentucky. I think it was Glasgow beat them pretty good. What do you think?
I don't know. It'll be interesting. Coach Mike Dickerson, who played and coached at Smith County, was the principal at Clay County, but not no more. So right. He's probably not feeding him a whole lot of information now that he doesn't have Clay County instincts or whatever. I think Smith County wins that one. Clay County's been struggling the last couple of years.
Of course, Mike Dickerson now at Westmoreland, who'll be on the Owl schedule in a couple of weeks. We've got White House at DeKalb County.
Well, it's a tough one to call, but I'm not, I don't think DeKalb, I figured they would beat Warren County, but I thought it would be a whole lot more than 3 or 4 points, 5, whatever the count was. I think White House, with a new head coach last year, gets a win on the road in Smithville.
Purple Tigers heading to Turney Ford Field to play in our game of the week against Gordonsville. Gordonsville coming off a win or a no contest. They were ahead when they quit playing at Coldfield in Watertown, a tough 5-point loss to the Owls at home.
That one is tough to call because Gordonsville's banged up a little bit from that game. That was one of those smash mouth games up in East Tennessee. Watertown really thought they had a shot to beat Smith County last week and it didn't work. So they're hungry. I think that'll be a typical Watertown Gordonsville game, and whoever makes the most turnovers is probably going to have to be in the loss column. I think Gordonsville bounces back. I think Gordonsville gets its second win. But it could go the other way real easily.
We want to thank all our sponsors, which are Pavement Restoration, Huff and Puff Trucking, Citizens Bank, Sonic of Carthage, Carthage Saveway, Community Wellness Clinic, and BDGR Excavation.
Thanks. Looks like you did all that with your eyes closed.
I probably did. Hopefully later in the year I can memorize those. Thanks to Justin Malden. And for Murphy Fair, I'm Terry Collins. Thanks for watching The Box Score, brought to you by Pavement Restorations.
You've been listening to The Box Score. Join us weekly each Thursday for a new podcast episode, and make sure to subscribe and share so all get notified when new episodes arrive. On behalf of the crew at DTC Sports, Terry Collins and the guru, Murphy Fair, thanks for joining us.